Can you feel it? Really exciting, right?
Woo! Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
But it was Terry Rozier that brought the Charlotte Hornets into TD Garden, and for the first time since Terry Rozier was on the other side wearing the green, the Hornets will leave Boston with a win. Celtics comeback falls short. They're beaten by the Hornets tonight, 111-102.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Final call last night from Sean Grandy right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, Celtics Radio Network. Celtics lose at home, 111-102, with the Hornets coming in and snapping what was a nine-game losing streak at TD Garden. We welcome in the head coach of the Celtics. It's Ime Udoka joining us once again. Ime, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. One of the big things coming out of this game is obviously Jason Tatum is having some issues from beyond the arc, and last night was 0 of 7. He's having a down year in this regard. Do you believe he can fix this, and what is he doing to try and fix that?
Yeah, I think the quality of shots have been pretty good and average and above average to what he's had throughout his career. So we continue to believe that those things are going to balance out. And the last piece is attacking at times, not always settling, getting himself to the line, getting himself something easy. And a lot of times that translates to making shots on the perimeter.
Coach, you didn't have Robert Williams last night, not for an injury, but birth of his child. Hopefully mom and baby are doing well. Goes to show you how important he is to have you, especially on the inside. But when do you expect him to return?
Oh, we expect him back next game. And, yes, obviously congrats to him and the family. But he was very important to us. Rewatching the first game against Charlotte, he had a huge impact in that game on both ends of the floor. And so obviously missed his presence last night.
Marcus Smart also still on the sidelines last night, apparently out of the protocol, obviously, if he's there on the sideline, but held out for conditioning. Is he close to being back also?
Yeah, he'll go through some workouts today again. Also had the thigh contusion leading into before he had COVID. And so we're waiting on both those things. He'll go through some quick rehab, ramp up his conditioning, and hopefully we'll get him back in the next game. But waiting to see how he feels today.
You know, this is the time of year when rumors start to fly, and obviously your team has already been active making a deal this week. Brad busy in the front office. Do you say anything to your players at this time of year as far as, avoiding listening to trade rumors, paying attention to trade rumors, just sort of trying to focus on playing basketball?
Yeah, we spoke about it, obviously, with Wancho leaving. We all talked about it as a team, and we have enough veteran guys who have been through it who have seen their names being mentioned before, And so my big message is continue to do what we do with who we have here. Block it out to some extent and be professional. It's part of the deal, part of your job. And like I said, we have enough guys that have been through it and are somewhat used to hearing their names called. And you can look at it as a good thing as well if people are asking about you.
Is Marcus one of those guys too? Because obviously it's probably not Jason or Jalen they're going to be attempted to get any phone calls for. But with Marcus's contract and sort of how that thing is built, that it's sort of he could be an attractive player for another team out there. Is this an uncomfortable time for him each and every year? Because it seems like his name always keeps coming up.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, whether it's Josh, Dennis, Al, whoever, and Marcus, he fits into that category where these guys have a lot of value around the league. We know how much we value them here with our team, but if people are inquiring, calling, everybody's monitoring everybody's situation, what can help your team improve and what teams are going through as well. So people are calling and asking about our guys, and we know that. And Marcus, like I said, has been a guy who has probably heard his name called in the past, but what we want to focus on is who we have in the building. Like half, I would say 90% of the stuff that you hear never comes true. And so continue to block that out. Focus on what we're trying to do and improve here. And like I said, let the chips fall where they may as far as that. But guys are veterans and experienced guys who've been through it. And I think to some extent they let it go in one ear, out the other.
Without getting into specific names, one of the criticism launched at your team all year is that it's not a cohesive team or cohesive unit, or maybe not all the pieces fit together perfectly. How do you feel about the mix of players on your roster?
Well, we've obviously had a lack of continuity with guys in and out this year, so that's hurt us a little bit. But even with that being said, I think we've been in every game except maybe two or three. We have enough regardless of who's been in and out, and that lack of consistency with the lineups has hurt us. But for the most part, we like what we have. We are obviously one of the top defensive teams in the league. The shooting numbers are hampering our offense a little bit there, but when you look at the amount of passes, you know, that we're making, the potential assists and all those numbers that we look at, that coaches and stats look at, I think we're trying to do the right thing. Guys are trying to learn and grow in those areas. And so the mix is enough. We have enough what we need, and it's just a matter of us continuing to grow together. And finishing games has been better lately. And so some of the things that hampered us early in the season, I think we've gotten better at.
All right, E-May, appreciate the time as always, and looking forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you.
All right, E-May Udoka joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. The issues for Tatum shooting this year have been really sort of problematic for this team. 0 of 7 last night. He had a bunch of wild looks, too.
What are you going to say to him? I mean, like, you're going to say, it probably doesn't even say anything to him. Because if he's got the open shot, you take it. Especially that.
No, I don't think it's about selection, but something's going on there that he's hovering around 30% now on the year.
The 3-point shooting was abysmal last night. You already mentioned what Tatum was 0 for 7 last night, Beadle.
0 for 7. He's now 31.6% on the year.
And then Jaylen Brown, I think, was 2 for 11 without looking at it. But 2 for 11. And
I mean, at home.
I know.
You say, okay, maybe it's a building thing or lighting in another arena.
And that, you know, you're relying on Horford at the end of that game to kind of keep you in it.
Horford had a good night.
He did. I thought he was impactful down the stretch. He made one big 3-pointer when I think the lead had grown to about 12. I think it was 108-96 at one point. Horford hit one. It's like, okay, not over yet. You know, that's why the end of these games is fun. You know, it's 3 minutes left. You're down 12. You're like, well, this one's over. Please. All it's going to take is, you know, one guy with the ball who gets a little bit hot. And I thought it was going to be Horford for a moment. You know, he hits back to back. So all of a sudden you're back to a two possession game. But no, it's if Tatum and Brown are both off and having a, you know, a rough shooting night, from 3-point territory, then it's hard to really think they're going to have a chance against anybody.
Two seasons ago, Jason Tatum shot 40.3% from beyond the arc when he was averaging more than 7 attempts per game. Oof. Last year, it went to 7.6 3-point attempts per game, and he shot 38.6%. This year, he has shot on average more threes than any other year in his career, and it's dipped now to, as I said, 31.7%. Not good.
0 for 7
last night. Yeah, and again, some of those were not contested.
Right.
So, yeah, something's a little off right there. You know, could be mental. You know how that goes. Just got to shoot your way out of that thing, though.
Shoot or gonna shoot.
You don't want to get hesitant. Just got to keep shooting.
Yep.
All right, 617.
You'll miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did Michael Scott say that? I think that was Michael Scott.
No, he would have effed that up. There's no way he said that. My, how the turntables have turned.
You miss 100% of the shots, but that's okay.
I think that was Michael Scott.
You take them.
That's it. It's Michael Jordan, Michael Scott.
No, I thought it was Wayne, wasn't it?
Is
it
Michael Wayne Jordan?
Wayne Gretzky. And he crosses it out.
The room's that little echoey, huh?
Party? Michael Scott.
A little tinny in that room.
Beatles room?
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's a little bit. It's all right.
He's effing with you. I wanted to do it too, but I know that would stick in your craw and ruin your day. Because I wanted
I wanted to
F with you a little bit, but I can't lie. The room sounds great. I wanted it to
sound better than Fred's.
I wanted to sound.
I can
all,
tell you, it did sound echoey when it was first used for one show, probably a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, whatever it was.
And what'd you do?
We've since added soundproofing panels.
Oh,
acoustic treatments.
Oh,
on the ceiling, on the walls.
Nice.
It's nice.
They're shipped in from outside the country.
No.
Beetle spared no expense. Fred sounded tinny today. You could tell right away Fred was on remote.
So the room sounds good, Hardy?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
We were thinking, uh-oh, that looks open. That looks like it's going to bounce.
Sounds like you're here.
Yeah, it sounds like you're here.
Excellent.
It's a little dark. You need
yeah,
a little more light.
No, don't worry about the light. You're doing a radio show. You sound fine.
You need a $10 ring light. That's all.
I'm going to get one. I was actually just looking for
I hate those.
We need one for this room.
What's he making, TikToks?
No kidding.
I might just call 128 for that, too. I'm sure they got something.
Why not? They'll be at Hardee's next anyway. You can just go over there and pick it up.
128 heating and lighting.
I got to get back to the office. I got to get out of their way. You know, those guys have work to do here. We'll get to the calls. We got calls on Tom Brady retirement. Let's see. 1, 2, 3 Tom Brady calls.
Oh, Jake's there.
Something on do the Patriots need an elite quarterback? I think that came up in the course of our Brady conversation. And I think we got a couple of open lines, too. So if you want to grab one, do it right now. We'll talk to you next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.